League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the learned Luke Cutfer.
Not learning enough, because I'm still learning from you.
This week, we're talking about the Emperor of Edutainment, whose kingdom is SciComm.
Ah, oh, Bill Nye the Science Guy?
But first, we have a wee review. So this one is entitled X Spider Killer. It is 5 stars. If you want to leave a review, go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a lovely little 5-star review. This one says, thanks to this podcast, and specifically thanks to Corey, saying that he looks at people differently when he hears that they killed a spider. I just spent an inordinately long part of my day trying to safely excavate a spider from a crack in my kitchen stool instead of killing it. Please don't look at me differently. Love the pod.
I heard a really compelling argument for killing spiders, which I don't do. But basically, every time you kill a spider that's in your house, you're encouraging them to naturally select towards not coming into houses.
But that means that you've got spiders not getting rid of other little pests in your house. A spider is a friend. Spiders get rid of flies and whatnot. You want to keep spiders around. They're the good guys. Don't kill spiders.
That's scary.
No, not scary. Friendly. Cute. Pretty.
When they're small, yes. When they're big, no.
I think they're even cuter when they're big. I love a big spider. Love getting a little look at it. But anyway, we should probably get into the topic for today. So before we actually start talking about, yes, you're right, Bill Nye, the science guy, I want to ask a question to everyone who's watching or listening. But if you are listening, what are you doing listening with just your ears? Use your little fingers and get to the YouTube comments and answer this question. I don't care if you're on Spotify or Apple or anywhere else. Get to YouTube, get to the comments and answer this question. The question is, have you ever watched Bill Nye the Science Guy?
I've watched like one episode.
Really? Which one?
You know, the one.
Oh, the one where he does the science.
The one where he's in like a studio and he does like experiments in the studio and there's like a live studio audience.
That's a different show entirely. That's Bill Nye Saves the World.
Oh, well
that's
then
the
no.
Okay, I recall distinctly one episode of Bill Nye the Science Guy from school that I watched in home ec and it was about food or something. I've seen a number of different clips of Bill Nye, the science guy. But yeah, no, his show Bill Nye Saves the World was pretty cool. Like I really like the vibe of Bill Nye. So I thought, why don't we do an episode about a science communicator? Because we've not really done one of those yet, have we?
That's because we are them. Be too meta.
Oh my god, this is the most meta episode of Sci Guys ever.
Science would implode. As it's about to.
So what do you know about Bill Nye, the science guy?
He's an old dude. He's not Bill Nye, the actor.
No, different person entirely.
And that's pretty much the extent of my knowledge about Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Really? Well, let me give you some more knowledge. First off, his full name is, of course, not Bill Nye the Science Guy. It's William the Science Guy Sanford Nye.
Shut up.
His name is William Sanford Nye. The science guy. So he was born November 27th, 1955. So, you know, by all accounts, yes, he is an older man. Yep. So you're correct in that. There you go. He's a science educator, obviously. Began his career in science as a sort of designer for Boeing. Boeing, you know, the jet?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Boeing.
I've never had to say that out loud.
Boeing.
Like, I don't think I've once in my life ever had to say the name of that company out loud. Anyway, he was a mechanical engineer for them. And obviously, he's most well known as Bill Nye, the science guy, because of his show that was on Disney, PBS. I don't know how it works. It was in America, okay? He had a TV show in the 90s in America. It was obviously a science show for kids. But on top of that, he's a comedian, actor, scientist. He writes things. Okay, if you don't know who Bill Nye is, which that would be insane to me. I cannot imagine you're watching the show and not knowing who Bill Nye is. But if you are, he's kind of like Hank Green, but for millennials.
Yeah, traditional media Hank Green, specifically for science.
Yeah.
Mainly.
Well, I mean, like, this is exactly what I mean. He is Hank Green for millennials because Hank Green is for Gen Z. Now, I mean, Hank Green was for millennials as well, but he is Gen Z's TikTok science man, right? Yeah. Hank Green is essentially what Bill Nye would have been had Bill Nye been born, you know, not in 1955, but instead in
70-something, 80-something?
Well, hold on. Hank is 40. I don't know. 70-something, right? Yeah, 70s. Jesus, why don't we... Let's just Google Hank Green's birthday, first of all.
We can do that. We can Google people we know's birthdays.
I love being able to Google. I get annoyed when I have friends whose birthdays I cannot Google.
Yeah.
It winds me up.
Google
should track everyone's birthday. No, so Hank Green, 42, born the 5th of May, 1980. 43, great. If this episode is coming out after the 5th of May, I don't know. But yeah, so if you want to understand who Bill Nye is, he is the Hank Green of the traditional media age, I suppose. And yeah, not only that, he is the CEO of the world's largest independent space interest group, the Planetary Society. I really like Bill Nye as a media personality because, you know, it's really difficult to be in science communication and have that sort of, I guess, integrity that science demands. You know, it's very difficult to simplify things for kids and then, you know, kind of continue that career without, I don't know, continuing to simplify things or going back on yourself. Like, Bill Nye is someone who is always with the times. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's a progressive guy. He seems to have, like, an evidence-based outlook on life. And he generally just seems to be a nice dude. You know, his whole thing is like education and entertainment. Kind of a similar vibe to this podcast, but more for kids than this. We're a little adult, you know. We're for the big boys and girls and theys and thems.
I mean, it's really funny because the description you just said is literally also a description of Hank Green. It's so weird. Like, yeah. And they've got the same, like, energy.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of, like, boyish excitableness and enthusiasm.
Frenetic.
And physical, like, physicality and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I honestly believe that had Bill Nye not made Bill Nye the Science Guy, that have been, like, you know, already a complete format of its own, that the Vlogbrothers would have ended up doing something like that. You know, like, that's what Crash Course would have been, probably. Do you know what I mean? I mean, this is, it's so, so cool that he's still sticking around doing what he does, because he's still working today. I mean, this man was born 1955, so he's approaching, what, his 70s now? Right, he's 60.
Yeah,
he's
67.
Yeah, 68. Yeah. 68 in November. Yeah. So I mean, he's still kicking. He's still really doing all of the, like.
Although that's not really surprising. The legal age of retirement is 67 now. So, like, keep working, Bill, or you don't get your state pension. Although, do you even get a state pension in the US? I don't know.
No. They just come around to your house and no. I'm joking.
Chop off your legs. Leave you in a field.
So let's go through his sort of early life, education, things like that. His mum was a code breaker. Her name was Jacqueline Jenkins.
Cool.
Which, imagine being Bill Nye and your mother being as cool as that. First off, Jacqueline Jenkins, perfectly awesome name, but being a code breaker, so cool in and of itself.
Was she a computer?
No, unfortunately, she was a human.
No,
Bill Nye is not a cyborg.
You know what I'm asking you, Corey.
Oh, a computer!
A computer! Yeah, what's the word computer mean?
I forgot that we used the word computer for people before.
Well,
we
usually
used
women as well, I think.
Yeah. Oh my God, sorry. I genuinely, totally forgot that computer did not just mean this thing that runs my life, yeah. You know? Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't have a huge amount of information on his mother. It's literally just that sort of one line. Mm. A bunch of different places mentioned that she was a code breaker. His dad was a World War II vet. And this is really interesting. I mean, this will come up later, so bear some of this in mind. Mm. He was in a Japanese POW camp. And he, while he was there, he would make sundials to try and, you know, figure out what time of day it was. So that was like a significant story there. And that bear that in mind, because it will come up later. Bill then went to study at Lafayette Elementary. Then he went to Alice Deal Junior High in Washington, graduated from school in 1973 from Sidwell Friends School. So he then got a degree from Cornell about 4 years later, mechanical engineering. So science guy, but he's an engineer.
Hmm.
Oh, controversy. No, but he actually studied under Carl Sagan.
Cool.
Yeah, in Carl Sagan's astronomy class. Do you know who Carl Sagan is?
Yeah, he's the astronomer dude. He's like the guy who does the pale blue dot speech. He also had a TV show of some kind as well. Sky at Night, maybe?
Yeah, no, I think he did, yeah. But yeah, Carl Sagan is this very, very, very popular sort of science figure. I mean, This is before, I guess, the more modern era where, I guess, science communicators became more fun? That makes sense.
Well, it was a lot more like Carl Sagan's stuff was a lot more like beautiful. And so, like, if you've never seen Carl Sagan's pale blue dot speech, it's much more like evoking wonder from almost like a nature documentary type of wonder,
so David
rather
Attenborough
than like,
kind of thing.
Woo, yeah. Yay, explosions, look at this go.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the attitude that our main science communicator, Bill.
Brian Cox
has taken, which is a bit more like, wow, the universe is amazing.
But the way that Brian Cox, this is largely also going to be an episode where we have a conversation about some science communicators, because that, weirdly, is part of our jobs. You know, that's kind of what we do. We're in the same cohort, you know, those are our peers. But it's really interesting the different sort of approaches that are taken. Brian Cox is interesting to me because he does do the sort of wonderful, like, oh, this is so cool and interesting thing, but in a very different way to Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
Carl Sagan has the kind of gravitas where you're drawn in and you're enamored. And Brian Cox, it's like, man, this guy knows a lot about what he's talking about. It's like, let this interesting kind of, you know, this little dude is just like a little bit, not shy, but do you know what I mean? Sort of.
Yeah, it probably has something to do with the fact that I imagine back in the day when Carl Sagan was on television, it was a lot more like you were basically like rich white dude.
Yeah.
To be on TV, you probably like had like an estate or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but like so the kind of vibe of TV was a lot more talking down because it was essentially like members of the establishment were on the television.
That's it. I could not find the words, and you've just got it. Brian Cox tells you this as though he's your mate.
Yeah.
And I've seen Brian Cox lectures. I've literally gone to I came to London for a Brian Cox lecture when I was in school, and it was fantastic. He really does draw you in, but in a way that it just feels like it's just your mate. It's like, oh, here, listen to this really interesting thing I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
And here it is, you know.
Also, you say that it's weird that Bill Nye was an engineer. Brian Cox was a pianist in a band.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not saying that it's weird that Bill Nye was an engineer. My point is that Bill Nye, the science guy, is technically the engineer guy.
Brian Cox, the science guy, is Brian Cox, the pianist in the band D-Ream.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like Brian Cox, the way that it is in the UK, you've got Brian Cox, physicist, and Brian Cox, actor. Actors from Dundee, like me.
Yes.
Brian Cox, physicist, to me, is the other Brian Cox. Immediately I go to Brian Cox, the actor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, and then also there's Brian Cox, the physicist.
But what's really funny about that is also Bill Nye, is Bill Nye, the actor.
Right.
Bill Nye. British actor who is in, like, About Time and
Shaun
Potter
of the Dead.
And stuff, yeah.
Lots of time. He's in plenty of things, isn't he? We're talking a little bit about different sort of science communicators, and I really like the different approaches that so many different people take. You know, you've got Brian Cox, who's all about wonder. You've got, I mean, Hank Green, your sort of Bill Nye types, who are very zany and entertaining and just, look how cool this thing is. Like, I'm so excited to show this to you. Isn't this amazing? We should all be so excited about even the most sort of, I guess, mundane things of, here are just your chromosomes. How cool is that? You know, everything is voraciously interesting to these people. And then you've got the ones that are more like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was about to ask you, where does Neil deGrasse Tyson sit?
Neil deGrasse Tyson is... I understand where he's coming from as, like, you know, as his persona, because I also was there when I was a teenager. And it's this sort of like Neil deGrasse Tyson, generally his sort of way of conveying science to people is, I gotcha.
Yes. You know? And also, like, the things you think are wrong.
Yeah, you are wrong is kind of Neil deGrasse Tyson's way of looking at it. And kind of, this is fact. And, you know, I've seen him in conversation with, you know, people like Ben Shapiro before, where he did pretty well there, you know, and he kind of broke the view that I had of him up until that point, wherein he was giving off the vibe to me of the kind of scientist who, or the kind of, you know, people who, the person who believes in science, who sees science as this inscrutable, you know, all-knowing thing, like, not as a sort of process that gets knowledge, that can be fallible, that is, that can be influenced by the bias of people, that, you know, that sort of thing. Like, it is the best thing that we've got. Science is absolutely the most reliable method of predicting things, you know, that we have. There's literally not a better one. But viewing it as infallible is, always correct is just... it's just a really poor way of viewing science, because it shows an innate misunderstanding of it. I'm not saying that that's what I thought Neil deGrasse Tyson sort of was. I'm not saying that I thought he didn't understand science. It's just the way that he presented himself. It kind of breeds that view in an audience.
Yes,
you know?
It's an interesting one, because it's almost like, I don't want to say condescension,
but it's
almost the vibe of like, you know, sometimes of like, I know better than you.
Yeah.
And the reality is that might be true, that you may know the best science we have right now, but the best science we have right now will look stupid in 100 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or 200 years, or even 50 years, or maybe even 10 years or 20 years. And so, like, necessarily that kind of like, that view, that the kind of the vibe of like condescension, or the vibe of like, I'm smarter than you, is like, yeah, but then everybody else is smarter than you in 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
So that kind of doesn't work.
I mean, look, no shade to Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's done brilliant work.
Brilliant programs, yeah.
But the one thing is that if I could give advice to you, Neil, if you're watching this, literally, people find it so easy to make fun of him because of the persona of, oh, I'm being technically correct in things. And so it's very easy to find just flaws in what he says, or mistakes that he makes, or, you know, being as pedantic as he is, to catch him out. Which, you know, if he's fine with that, then he's fine with that, whatever. But it's just interesting to me that there are so many different ways to do science communication, and they all have value in their own way, and they're all good for different people and good for getting different people into different things, you know? It's fantastic. But let's get back to Bill Nye, because I found it really interesting, you know, how he went from, you know, his career at Boeing to being Bill Nye the Science Guy. So, as I said, he studied under Carl Sagan, and then he was in Seattle working for Boeing, taking part in their training films. But he also developed a resonance suppressor, making use of hydraulic pressure, which was used in the Boeing 747 airplane, which is mad. Like, if you're flying in a 747, thank Bill Nye. There you go.
Wow.
After that, he then sort of left that position to focus more on, you know, his sort of SciComm edutainment career. And he basically started doing stand-up comedy for a bit, right? So he was working as an engineer and also doing stand-up comedy, which is fantastic, because this is something that people don't really... I feel like people see scientists as just scientists, you know what I mean? Like, it's difficult for people to conceptualize of a scientist being a fun and entertaining and funny person.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, I'm genuinely not joking, and I've met a number of scientists. I understand why some people think that, but no, I'm fully joking. But I really, really enjoy seeing scientists or engineers or people working in those professions do something in the arts. Because there's often this sort of divide between the two groups, right? You've got STEM and the arts, and STEM looks down on the arts, and arts makes fun of STEM for looking down on the arts,
yeah,
whilst missing a lot, you know?
It's almost like a weird thing to think about somebody who Because ultimately, if you whatever you choose to do with your life, to a certain extent, if you do something you're passionate about, to a certain extent, you're making a statement that, like, this is the value I hold to be, like, the ultimate value, right? If that's what you've if you have the privilege to be able to choose what you do with your life, then what you've chosen is necessarily an expression of, like, either what you enjoy or what you hold up to be great. And with scientists, it's very natural and obvious reason for why a scientist would think science is a good ultimate thing to pursue, right? So it's almost then surprising to find out that they once pursued a career as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what? You ultimately decided that science was the thing you wanted to focus on. So, like, what did you do? Did you get distracted? Were you lost? Mm. Like, what was going on there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, it's the other way around for Bill Nye. So he was working as an engineer.
Yeah.
Which, bear in mind, I feel like if you're... I don't know about this exactly. I don't know what engineer salaries are. But I feel like if you're designing parts for airplanes, you're making you're making money, right?
Yeah.
You're making money.
Well, maybe that's why he then was able to become a stand-up comedian, because that's not easy.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, stand-up is hard as well. You know, people, I think, look at stand-up comedians and think, you're just telling jokes up on a stage. I have seen stand-up comedians sort of work and, like, the process that goes into it, and God, is it so much more than just standing up on stage and making jokes. I feel like people say that a lot because you tend to only, unless you're into stand-up and you're into live comedy, you tend to only see good stand-up comedians because there's only good ones that tend to get on TV.
Yes.
And even then, if something bombs, you're not going to see a special of it on TV. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to see the good stuff. And so people don't necessarily get how tough stand-up is. Like, if you go and see a bad stand-up comic or a really inexperienced stand-up comic, you can feel it in your bloody bones, right? Mm. So he started doing stand-up comedy, which is a route into, you know, the entertainment industry that I think people kind of overlook. I mean, in the UK, I think it's one of the biggest ways to get into comedy TV here, right? Mm, like the stand-up comedy scene is...
Stand-up circuit, onto panel shows, and then whatever you want to do after that.
And then Dave, till the end of time, buddy.
Or a podcast.
Taskmaster. Look, I feel like the British...
I saw Alex Horn lives very near me. I saw him in the post office the other day. mailing something.
The British TV industry is propped up, I think, primarily by a new panel show every, like, you know, year to just... give all these comedians jobs for another little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works. So he started with stand-up, and it wasn't just stand-up. He won a Steve Martin lookalike contest in 1978. That was like...
Sorry, what?
Yeah, it was a Steve Martin lookalike contest in 1978. He won that, and that was kind of the start of his career in comedy. He does not look that much like Steve Martin.
Sorry, I was just googling it. What?
No, he doesn't look like...
Not at all.
I know he doesn't look like Steve Martin.
Ooh, he was a sexy man.
Anyway, so he was working as an engineer and he was working as a stand-up comic. He was doing both at the same time. And then in 1986, he decided, that's it. No more working with planes. I'm going to pursue entertainment full time. Clearly, he must have had a Luke Cutforth sitting in his ear and telling him to quit his job. Like, happened. Like, what
That's
happened
what
to...
I did to Corey.
Yours truly.
I'm starting to wonder whether Bill Nye has ADHD.
So, I mean, who knows?
Maybe.
So, he became a comedy writer after that, and he started performing on the show Almost Live. I think it's a Seattle sort of sketch chat
show.
Sounds
like an SNL type thing.
Yeah, kind of thing like that, I guess. I mean, I don't think it was actually live. I think it's a sort of pre-recorded sketch chat
live.
Show. Yeah, almost live, exactly. So he was writing for that and he was performing on that. This is actually where he got his name, Bill Nye the Science Guy. So the story goes that the host of the show said gigawatt and Bill Nye corrected him to gigawatt. And so the host turned around and said, "What are you, Bill Nye the Science Guy?"
No way.
Yeah.
That is insane. It's almost as insane as how I got my YouTube name.
Go on, tell us that one.
Do you know?
I don't know. Wait.
Yeah, I think you do.
You've told me it before, but I can't remember.
God, I've told this story so many times. I became a YouTuber because, well, I wanted to be a filmmaker, but second reason was because I fancied a girl who fancied a YouTuber. And I asked her what I should call my YouTube name, and she said, "Luke is not sexy."
Yeah, that's very good. I love that story.
And my little tiny heart was broken.
That's very painful.
Also, a career was born. So there we are. We make do. And that's kind of like Bill Nye the Science Guy.
It's like that domino meme, like a girl insulting Luke Guttman. The drowning of Arthur Braxton.
Oh my god!
That is so funny. Butterfly effect.
I cannot believe, when I saw this, I could not believe that Bill Nye the Science Guy got his name from what is essentially that Suicide Squad meme. You know, like, what are we? Some kind of Suicide Squad? What are you? Some kind of Bill Nye the Science Guy? And if that were me, I'd be asking for royalties on that show name, honestly. Like, that is, he's made an entire career out of that name alone. He could have done. He's fantastic in his own right, don't get me wrong. But Bill Nye the Science Guy is, it's perfect. It's unbeatable. So, like Hank Green the Science Bean?
The Science Meme. Hank Green the Science Meme. It was right there, Corey. The bean and science
meme.
Beam?
Bean and meme don't rhyme.
Hank Green the Science Bean.
Bean and green and meme do not rhyme.
Okay.
It's going to be an exact rhyme.
Okay, but it's better. Otherwise, his logo would be a little kidney bean with Hank Green on it, holding like an atom and maybe like a cell.
Oh, good lord.
A little flask, a conical flask. Somebody make that. Somebody make it and put it in our Discord, please.
Oh my god.
Hank Green the Science Bean.
So, after he got his name as Bill Nye the Science Guy, interestingly, he went to work in the Back to the Future, the animated series. So he was in sort of segments of that as Doc Brown's assistant. And interestingly, Doc Brown said 1.21 gigawatts, right, in the film because of misreading the word, and that stuck. And there's this sort of misconception that gigawatts is pronounced gigawatts or something along those lines. And that's literally how he got his name. And then he went to work for Back to the Future. It's like a little sort of like cool little cycle. So he was working there, and because that segment was so popular, he got his own show. It ran for 5 years, which feels weird, right? It feels like it would have run for much longer than 5 years. There's only 100 episodes. I mean, you could smash through Bill Nye the Science Guy in not that much time. You know, like 20-minute episodes, 100 episodes, you probably do it in about a week, right? If you really want to marathon that.
Maybe he got too rich. It all depends on what happened next. Why was it 5 seasons? Maybe it was because he became incredibly rich and successful and wanted to do his own thing.
I mean, I watched a documentary about this and I can't quite remember why it ended off the top of my head, but I mean, it was doing so well. It's not like it would have been, I don't think it was cancelled. It would have been a decision of, we've been doing this for a while, let's stop. I mean, 5 years of that show would have been a lot, because he's writing and researching it, not entirely by himself, of course. I'm sure, I think there were other people that he worked with. I cannot remember the woman's name. I watched this documentary a while ago and she just didn't come up in any of the research, and I couldn't find the documentary again.
Corey hates women.
That's it. I'm a big old sexist, sorry. But because that segment was so popular, he ended up getting that TV show, Bill Nye the Science Guy, which ran from September 10th, 1993 to June 20th, 1998. So not only was he the host, he also, you know, wrote it and, you know, researched some of it as well. Yeah, quite a hand in it. It was all shot in Seattle, I'm fairly sure. And it was basically just in this studio in Seattle. I mean, when you look back at the show, you've not really seen it, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, that's it's a really interesting production. It doesn't look ridiculously high budget on the face of it, but they've got all these fun segments and experiments and stuff, and it's just really, really well produced.
Sounds almost like Brainiac. Do you remember Brainiac in the UK?
Yes, but it's so much better than Brainiac.
Okay, but is it that sort of like janky, kind of like almost like you've put it together in your garage kind of thing?
Not quite. I think just the sets look like that. Do you know what I mean? I think intentionally. I mean, to be honest, if it's PBS and I think Disney were paying for this,
they
as well.
They got some money.
They got money.
They made the Muppets.
Yeah, it was not. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they were like really, really strapped for cash. But anyway, regardless, he hosted the show. He was basically trying to teach science to preteens. So, you know, not super young kids, but kind of, I guess that's middle school age. 100 episodes, as I said. Over 100. 100 episodes. And over those 5 years, it won 19 Emmy Awards. It's been used in sort of schools. I mean, I watched it in school. It's been used in American schools. So many kids have this sort of relationship with Bill Nye because they supplemented the sort of the education in schools with Bill Nye's TV show. That's how good it is as an educational resource. That's bloody incredible, to be honest.
And
you know,
it's still being used as well. Not just that it was,
I mean, what was that? It ended in 1998, and I would have been in high school, you know, this was maybe 10 years ago that I saw it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's got some legs, right? So he was writing, performing, and producing the show. He's got 7 Emmys himself for that show. 7 Emmys. Yeah, personally received 7 Emmys for writing, performing, and producing.
That's more than the number of years the show existed.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Multiple Emmys in 1 year, right?
Of course. Yeah, yeah, fair
I
enough.
Mean, it's absolutely incredible. So it was obviously aimed towards younger viewers, but apparently adults as well were enjoying it. Because if you think about it, you're like as an adult, you're mostly kind of just confined to what you learned in school when it comes to your science knowledge, and that is something that's become woefully apparent in modern society. Science is being touted by people who have no idea what they're. I had someone the other day in the comments saying that this is something that you don't need a biology degree to understand, and then proceeded to tell me something that was technically correct but missing a whole bunch of context. And you know, it's just clear that it's you've been told this by someone else and you're just repeating it. So I said, hey, look, I actually do have a biology degree, so
don't need one.
I was like you don't need a biology degree to understand this. No, but I do have one, and I'm telling you that you don't have the understanding of this topic that you think you do. And so this person then suggested me just a YouTube channel SciComm YouTube channel that seems to be very, very, very heavily influenced by a political agenda and not terribly scientifically accurate. You know, basically presenting things that go against the general consensus, misrepresenting things. It's interesting to me that, you know, this is where we are now, because you've got a point where people are saying it's simple high school biology without understanding that simple high school biology is just that. Biology that is simplified for high schoolers.
They haven't have a full frontal lobe yet. We can't teach you proper science.
No, exactly. And I'll talk about a story that I mention often. I distinctly remember a biology teacher that I had. And I had him, you know, a couple years in a row. And every now and then, what would happen is we'd get into a new year of school, we'd be a year older, and he'd sit us down and he'd say, okay, we're doing this topic. Now, let me tell you that what we told you last year was a bit of a fib, and we're going to tell you the whole story now. And it then got to the point of being towards my last year, right? We're doing the Krebs cycle, which is the thing for respiration, if you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Respiration is basically breathing in oxygen, breathing out carbon dioxide. It's how you get your energy sort of in your body.
It's simple high school biology.
It is simple high school biology. Look, what is the process of respiration? What chemical reaction happens?
Well, it's simple high school biology. You take oxygen and you take water.
Mm-hmm.
And you do something to them, and out comes sugar and carbon dioxide.
Yeah. So the Krebs cycle, the Krebs cycle is a part of aerobic respiration, which is what you've just discussed there. Now, when you learn about this, you've got the whole idea of sort of, you know, ATP, energy, and this is how this is made. This is how you transfer basically the energy from glucose into a different chemical energy for your body to use here and there, right? Now, when you get taught it in school, initially they teach you the chemical sort of reaction that you've just told me there.
Yep.
You get carbon dioxide and water. No, that's what plants do. You get, other way around, you get oxygen and glucose, you react them together, makes carbon dioxide and water, right? Very simple, very straightforward. The Krebs cycle is so it's a big circle. Let me just show you what the diagram looks like. I'll put it up on screen for you now. This is the diagram from Wikipedia for the Krebs cycle. This is it.
Oh. So that's what's actually happening.
That's what's actually happening.
So what you're saying is it's... Hang on a second, Corey. Is it not simple high school biology?
No, it's not simple high school biology.
I thought it was simple high school biology.
So this, look, I mean, and you do learn some of this in high school. Someone might be saying, oh, but I learned this in high school biology. Yeah, you probably did. And then you go to university and they tell you it's actually more complex, which...
Ah.
But it got to the point where I was...
When does it end?
When I was saying to my teacher, look, just tell me... I don't care if it's not on the curriculum. I don't care if I won't understand it. Just tell me the full thing, because I'm not dealing with this. I am not dealing with this again. I'm not going to be lied to and gaslit to believe that the world is simpler than it actually is. Just give me the full information, and then I can study the syllabus. That's fine. I'll study what is on the curriculum, but I want to know. And that is giving you a very clear picture of why I am the person that I am today.
You're a career educator's worst nightmare.
I'm so bad, honestly. God, I would fall asleep in classes as well and like not try hard.
Yeah.
And just, you know...
Get an A.
I had a teacher sit me down once. I love him, Jamie. Just great, great guy. But he sat me down once. He's a physics teacher. He said, "Corey, you're not doing well enough here. Look at this grade. You gotta really try harder, because this mock you just did, it's not, or your prelim, we call them, this prelim you just did, it's not good. It's not good enough." And I was like, "Jamie, I got an A." He's like, "Yes, but it's a low A." And I said, "But Jamie, it's an A." And so I don't care. Like, he couldn't say anything to me, because he was just like, "But yeah, but you can do better." And I'm like, "Yeah, but an A is an A is an A. Like, I don't..." What are you going to say to me? What are you going to do to motivate me to work harder if I'm doing what I need to do already, you know? And
give you some ADHD medication?
Yeah, probably, yeah, to be honest.
If look, only.
If only they give me... No, but to be fair, that is kind of a facet of our education system, sort of incentivizing people with grades rather than incentivizing people with knowledge, which, fair enough, it's very hard to incentivize a large cohort like that with knowledge when they're all individuals and are going to be interested by different things, you know? So grades make sense as an incentive, but... Oh, it makes it really hard to convince people to do anything that isn't for a grade, you know? Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I hope so. We don't have any other bells in this room.
Well, I'll tell you what we don't have in this room, Luke. We don't have people who have subscribed to SciGuys on YouTube and followed us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
I actually have done all those things.
I have too. But why don't we tell people about why specifically that is a very cool and interesting thing for them to do?
Well, we want to be everywhere with you all the time. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, we want to be there with you. If you're on Spotify, we want to be there with you. And if you're on YouTube, we want to be there with you. And you probably want us to be there with you too.
Even if you prefer to listen on Spotify and don't really watch us on YouTube all that much, it really helps if you subscribe on every single platform, because it gets us in front of more people, which means it makes it easier to make this show, which you love, right? You love it. You love us, right?
Give me love. Validate my soul.
Subscribe to SciGuys on YouTube and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify right now.
Heal the deep, deep chasm in my heart.
Let's get back to the show.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
So we were talking about the show Bill Nye the Science Guy. Won a bunch of Emmys. He produced the show. As I said, it was filmed in Seattle. And so what he would do, I mean, you know the image of Bill Nye the Science Guy. You know what he looks like, right?
I know what Bill Nye the Science Guy looks like.
Yeah. So the thing is, when he was playing sort of the Science Guy, he'd have the bow tie and the lab coat.
Like a Doctor Who guy.
Yeah. And it's very much just the stereotypical look of a scientist.
Yeah.
I really love that he sort of leaned into it, and it was sort of semi-fictionalized. Like, he's Bill Nye the Science Guy. His name is Bill Nye. technically. And he is a science guy, but he's playing this sort of very heightened character. It's fantastic. And then Hank Green comes along and has ADHD and is just playing himself, you know? Like,
and this is why I think Bill Nye might have ADHD. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons.
Now, I've just looked it up and I cannot find anything on Bill Nye having ADHD. But there is a Reddit post of someone saying it's really difficult to watch Bill Nye with ADHD. And I have to say, I feel the exact opposite. So if you've not seen the show, it's, as I said, very frenetic. There's lots of things going on at once. It's like whoop, noises and like little sound effects here and there, you know, all of that sort of stuff is going on. And it could be very distracting. I understand that. But for me, I cannot watch a documentary because I'd need to put it on 2x speed, specifically more Americanized documentaries, because what they do is they'll draw out the information so that the density is so low that I cannot keep myself invested. I just want to know. Like, don't take a 5-second pause before you tell me what happened. Just tell me what happened. Bill Nye the Science Guy is just like, stuff is happening all the time. So there's not enough time to be bored or understimulated. It's just, ah!
Well, that sounds like an overstimulation worst nightmare.
Not possible.
Okay.
Hey, look, if it's not mouth sounds, then I can't get overstimulated. Look, it's totally fine. So that is his work as Bill Nye the Science Guy, you know, the show that he produced and filmed entirely in Seattle for 5 years. After that, he didn't stop, which is great. He went on to do more stuff. He made a hovercraft whilst demonstrating scientific applications in a novel classroom setup in the Disney movie called The Principal Takes a Holiday. From 2000 to 2002, he was a technical expert of BattleBots, which I think is that
it's
not
just
Robot?
Come back.
Is that Robot Wars?
Yeah, but it's just come back. It's on Netflix now, I think.
So is BattleBots different from Robot Wars, or is it the same thing in just
it's
different countries?
It's the same thing, just different countries.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right. Great. It's come back on Netflix.
Well, I saw it on Netflix the other day. I didn't watch it, but I actually had never heard of it.
Really?
Yeah, just a complete coincidence. You said it the other day. I thought that's Netflix ripping off Robot Wars, which is like the UK robot fighting show. But maybe it existed before. Maybe Robot Wars ripped off BattleBots.
Oh, no, BattleBots is an adaptation of Robot Wars. Ah. Just looked it up. Yeah, no, I really, really loved Robot Wars. And yeah. This is a thing that I want to understand at some point in my life. I don't understand how to build a robot.
Oh, see, I really do.
Like, I
built radio-controlled cars as a kid.
Okay, now that makes sense now.
Yeah.
No, never mind.
What?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
What?
Here is my confusion. I was like, how are they building the? Oh, you just need a radio controller, and you just need to When I don't understand things, often it's a case of I've just not really
thought about it at all
for more than like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And as soon as you say something, I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's all fallen into place. Yeah. All of the pieces of knowledge were there. So, yeah, I mean, he was the technical expert on BattleBots. And in 2004 to 2005, he hosted the award-winning series for the Science Channel called 100 Greatest Discoveries, apparently. So he also had an 8-part series on the Discovery Channel, Greatest Inventions with Bill Nye, and there was a 13-episode series from PBS KCTS-TV, which was called The Eyes of Nye. So he continued doing, you know, more SciComm work in TV. He's had, you know, Bill Nye Saves the World on Netflix, which ran for 3 seasons, I think. You know, he's been fairly prolific. He's just had a brilliant career. He's well-loved, well-liked. I don't think anyone really has a bad word to say about Bill Nye unless they're conservatives who disagree with the facts that he says, you know. He's just... I have seen so many videos about people complaining about Bill Nye tackling climate change sort of misinformation and things like that. They do not like it when he talks about facts.
I mean, our equivalent, like, national treasure love educator has recently just been had one of his episodes not broadcast. So we have David Attenborough, absolute loved sciencey dude, nature dude.
Yeah.
And one of the episodes of his new series has essentially not aired on TV. It's just gone straight online because they were worried that it would be too controversial for showing the effects of climate change.
Yeah, because people who are anti-climate change, not anti-climate change as in working against climate change, people that don't believe that climate change exists or don't believe that the results of climate change are due to man-made climate change, which, by the way, we have known that climate change has exists for a long, long time. We have known that it's been man-made for a long, long time. Our anniversary episode, I think our first anniversary episode, it might be, is on climate change. You can go and watch it. It's about a two-hour episode. It's very, very in-depth. I took a lot of time to research and find all of this stuff to just refute all of the anti-climate change points, but it's out there. Go ahead and watch it. We've also done an After Dark episode. So After Dark is the sister show to SciGuys. Just because SciGuys has ended, it doesn't mean the conversation has, where we actually spoke about that situation, not specifically about David Attenborough, but a similar sort of thing that was happening around about the same time, that was very much tied to the David Attenborough sort of scandal there. But it's really interesting that you bring up David Attenborough again, because I really like the vibe that he has, wherein everyone in the UK just likes him, kind of unconditionally. I can't imagine anyone bad-mouthing him and being able to get away with it.
No.
Like, okay, you can make fun of the Queen on TV. You can make fun of any of the royals on TV. You can make fun of politicians. You can make fun of Piers Morgan. You can make fun of Winston Churchill, to be honest. I mean, you might get in trouble, but you can make fun of him. It is career suicide, I think, to badmouth David Attenborough. And I don't mean sort of make a joke. I mean say that he is not a good dude. You know, he's kind of the Steve Irwin of the UK. But back to Bill Nye. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about scientific work, because we've spoken about the entertainment work, but you know, it's being a science communicator and also actually making sort of strides in science is not something that a lot of people, you know, do at once. You've got people who are more sort of scientists that are sort of celebrity figures. You've got, you know, your sort of Stephen Hawking's and whatnot, and then you've got people like Brian Cox, who I think has done
some physics stuff at CERN.
Yeah.
And I assume other places than CERN. They don't just take you to CERN on your first day. But I don't know if they've been at the same time necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. But what Bill Nye has done is a bloody lot. So you might remember at the start of the episode, I told you to remember a little bit of something, so you might want to...
Yes.
So he helped develop a small sundial for the Mars Exploration Rover called the Mars Dial. It had like little panels, different colors, but... his dad was making sundials in internment camps, and I mean, that was a story that obviously he told Bill Nye. The reason that we know that story must be because Bill Nye has told that story, so clearly, like, you know, there is some connection there. That's just really, I think, a really wonderful thing where, you know, okay, your dad was making sundials whilst being a prisoner of war, and you've made a sundial to go to Mars.
Now, was that because Bill Nye happened to be on the team that was developing a sundial, or was that kind of a PR thing?
I don't know.
To get Bill Nye in?
Who knows? I mean, look, the fact is that he was a working engineer, you know, the thing is that I think people forget or don't really consider the fact that having a science degree and being a scientist are two very different things. So I get called a scientist a lot by people, and I hate it. I feel very stressed out by that title because I do not deserve it. I'm not a working scientist. I've not done professional lab work. I've studied it at university, but I've got that knowledge there, and I do reading and I try and keep up with, you know, what's going on. I have a basic understanding of, you know, a number of different sort of techniques, but I'm not a working scientist, and that is something that you need to sort of continue to hone. It's like, kind of like what Tom Scott was saying on the episode we did on linguistics, wherein, yeah, he studied linguistics in university, but so much has changed since then, and, you know, and he's forgotten stuff as well, that... Is it really fair to say, to call yourself a linguist if your knowledge is, you know, X number of years, 15 years out of date? Like my university degree ended about five years ago. That's 5 years I've not been actively keeping up with biochemical engineering and biochemistry. You know, like, I've not been keeping up with what's going on in biotechnology. I've not been keeping up with all of that stuff. And when I was in university, you know, things were changing. There was a point where they were trying to teach us something. They were saying, look, we don't understand this exactly. And it's not that me personally that doesn't understand it. We don't know what's going on here yet. So maybe you'll figure that out. I'm pretty sure between like first and third year, there was a discovery that was kind of added into what we were learning that wasn't there the previous year. I mean, biobots was something I was learning about, I think in my last year of university. And that was a really, like, a super sort of new thing at the time. And, you know, in that intervening 5 years, so much more has changed. And yes, I've tried to keep up with it with the podcast, but I'm not working in this. It's not my 100% focus all the time. So it's really important to, I guess, draw the distinction between someone who's a science communicator and someone who's a working scientist. You know, and not that they're one holds more value than the other. It's just a science communicator is very good at communicating science and understanding these things, but they may not have the intricate knowledge that an expert scientist may have of certain, you know, methods and processes and study and experimental design, right? It's just something to bear in mind. But good science communicators, or, you know, science communicators that have the money to and all of this sort of stuff, will run things by experts, will make sure that they're, you know, saying the right thing. You know, like Hank Green he studied, what, biochemistry and then did, I think, a master's in environmental science. Don't ask why I know that off the top of my head. But he, you know, he's not really worked as a biochemist. You know, he's he's an author and a YouTuber and all of that sort of stuff. But he keeps himself on top of it, and he strives to be sort of, you know, correct in what he says, and he corrects himself when he's wrong, which is all you can really ask. It's just, I just want people to be cautious and conscious of the difference between a science communicator and a working scientist, because they're very much different things. But back to Bill Nye and his work. So he, as I said, he's the head of the Planetary Society, or vice president. In 2005, he became the vice president of the Planetary Society in 2005. And basically that society advocates for space research, you know, particularly Mars. He, in 2006, he wanted basically Pluto to be reclassified from a planet to a dwarf planet, which...
So it's his fault.
Not just his fault.
It's his fault.
Look, this is... I think Pluto is fine being a dwarf planet. Yes, it's annoying that I don't know how many planets are in the solar system anymore. 8? Because it was 9?
It was 9. There are now 8. Yep.
It's very... It's tricky to remember because I was taught for my entire school career... up until, like, my entire primary school career, that there was X number of planets, and then there was just one less.
Bill Nye comes swooping in.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, in 2010, it says he became the face of Oakland, California's Chabot Space and Science Center, where his climate lab featured the Clean Energy Space Station, where he was the commander. Basically, he's done a lot of sort of work in the sort of science field, not necessarily, you know, specific studies and that sort of stuff, because, again, he was an engineer. But he has been working outside of just the sort of science, strict science communication. He also has several patents, including ballet point shoes and an educational magnifying glass, which can be created by filling a plastic bag with some water. So... he's not only is he just a good at communicating science, a good writer, researcher, and producer, he's also a good engineer, evidently, right? Like, in that he's good enough to have filed patents and actually hold patents to certain things, which is insane. He was also a university professor at Cornell University, his alma mater, and... also, on top of that, he is a fellow for the Committee of Skeptical Inquiry, which is a non-profit educational scientific organization promoting science and scientific inquiry, critical thinking, science education, and the use of reason in examining important issues, it says. But I've got one question for you, you know, before we sort of move on. Is Bill Nye a scientist?
No.
So what makes you say that?
Because he's a science guy.
Ah, interesting.
No, I would say no, because even in what you're describing, how he sort of oversees a lot of scientific institutions, but I would say that a scientist is somebody who is actively involved in carrying out experiments, forming hypotheses, writing papers, actually like the on the ground stuff, whereas it sounds like he's sort of a top line executor. So he'll have an ideologically driven organization, like to further the sort of advancement of science and education. He'll oversee that, he'll employ or bring on board the right people, he'll make connections with people he knows. he's not necessarily actually doing the science.
Yeah, in the same sense that a sort of, what is it, an executive producer isn't making
isn't
a
director,
film.
Yes. Like, isn't know, a director, yes. Isn't a filmmaker. Yeah, they might, well, maybe an executive producer would be angry at me for saying they're not a film director. Believe me, I don't want to piss off executive producers.
what I mean is there are people in the film industry who aren't on the ground making films, but who are sort of higher ups making bigger decisions, overseeing and allocating,
resources and
funds. Yeah, all of this sort of thing, right? That would be more a sort of Bill Nye role. And every now and then he hops down to set and he says, I want you to point the camera over there. And then he gets a patent and he walks away. Mm-hmm. No, that's an argument for him not being sort of described as a scientist, but instead as an engineer. Because he is definitely an engineer. However, I've got an argument here from the Science Council. So the Science Council defines a scientist as someone who systematically gathers and uses research and evidence to make hypotheses and test them to gain and share understanding and knowledge. Now, Bill Nye doesn't exactly do that, but they go on to say that they can be further defined by how they get their information. So statistics or data scientists, what they're trying to understand, like an astronomer is trying to understand the stars, or where they apply their science. So a food scientist is working in the food industry. But all scientists, the Science Council says, are united by a relentless curiosity and systematic approach to assuaging it. Now, Bill Nye has been on TV a lot, and he's been doing science communication for a long, long time. That's been a massive focus of his career. I mean, it's why we're doing the episode on him today. But he's not necessarily technically a scientist, but also he could be described as a scientist despite the fact that he's not done all of this sort of stuff strictly in lab settings. Do you know what I mean?
Like when you get an honorary degree in something because you were successful at...
Yeah, he does actually have multiple honorary
sure
degrees.
He does.
Yeah, he's
I'm
got
sure
two
he does.
Honorary degrees. There's also a sort of mindset to being a scientist, right? You can not be someone that studies science, but if you build your worldview using the sort of scientific method of basing things on evidence, testing hypotheses, and finding trusting things that are repeatable, and using this model to basically be predictive.
Yeah,
That is kind of the core of science. And so while, he's not done formal sort of lab work, it literally says here that it's hard to deny, it'd be hard to deny his legitimacy as a scientist, especially after taking into consideration all that he's accomplished and the profound influence he's had on a generation of younger scientists.
Yeah, you could make an argument that a scientist is a, like what you said about somebody who's like, who holds reason and holds evidence as like sacrosanct, almost like, now, I will preface this with not like, but almost like a religion in that it is, I would add to what you said about somebody who believes in the power of evidence and that evidence is important, but somebody who also furthers and expands that worldview, much like Christians evangelize and bring other Christians, other people into Christianity. Bill Nye is arguably responsible for more science than pretty much anybody on the planet, because so many people became scientists because of him.
But the distinction I draw between scientists like Bill Nye, people like Bill Nye who draw people into science, and people that draw people into religion, is that drawing people into science isn't about telling them sort of what to think.
Yeah.
I mean, on this show, on SciGuys, I feel like we do try to give people not necessarily the conclusion, here is exactly what to think. Yes, we will talk about the conclusions. Yes, we'll go through all of the stuff and say, here is our working and this is the solution that we've come to. But a key part of that is teaching people how to ask questions, right? And by which I mean teaching people that they should be curious, like giving people the sort of encouragement to be curious, not saying this is exactly what you need to do and this is exactly what you need to think, but giving people the confidence to be curious in things and find stuff out. We have the entire world of information at our fingertips at all times. If you have a question, you can find the answer. All it takes is some curiosity and a little bit of, sort of confidence in yourself and motivation, and you can figure it out. And that's what I really love about Bill Nye and science educators, is that they teach people to be curious, and curiosity is one of the most important things.
Sound like Hank Green.
I'm coming for him.
Whoa. Sci show, sci guys.
Fight! You figured it out! So I kind of want to end this episode on just a quote from Bill Nye. So It says here that there are three mentalities that have always fueled his work: the ability to think critically, challenge your presumptions, and harness the power of a playful perspective. So Bill Nye says, when you use the process of science to learn something about the universe, your place within it, it's empowering. It makes you feel good. You learn more about yourself and your relationships to the world around you. The joy of discovery, the passion, beauty, and joy of science. That's why I'm in this business.
Very nice.
And that's Bill Nye, the science guy. There you go. That is the episode. But there's one last thing to do. It's a quick fire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Bill Nye, the science guy edition.
So the rules for the quick fire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between you and the audience. Look, the first person to answer the question after I finished asking the question wins. And what do they win?
A television show on PBS sponsored by Disney.
Look, are you actually able to offer that? You got a deal with PBS that you've not told me about?
I don't need to offer it. I'm going to get it.
Okay, fantastic. So, the question for you is, what is Bill Nye's full name?
William the Science Guy something Nye.
Close enough. Close enough. You got three of his four middle names. It's
what's the other one?
It's William the Science Guy Sanford Nye.
Sanford Nye.
Sanford Nye. And well, that is it.
The
That's
end
our
is
show.
Nye.
Very good. Very good. Very good. That is it. That's our show. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to exec producers Dinito and Glitch Rabbit. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com. SciGuysPod.
@gmail.com. You can follow me at Not Corey everywhere.
And you can follow me at Luke Cupforth everywhere.
Bye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.